a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Senate Education after a long weekend. I hope everybody had safe travels, and welcome back, and we're glad that you're here today. I'm Senator Deb Soholt, Chair of the Committee, and I want to welcome all of our internet listeners that are tuning in today as well. I would ask everyone to check your cell phone right now. I love it when there's a full room, because if a cell phone goes off, it's a dollar per head for a charity of the chair's choice. So, you know, you might want to check it because it could be an expensive day. Okay, we'll ask the secretary to call the roll.
Senators Curd, Jensen,
here.
Jones,
here.
Rampelberg,
here.
Welke,
here.
Maher,
here.
Soholt,
here. We do have a quorum. I would ask our page to come to the mic and introduce himself. Why don't you tell us where you're from? And, you know, at this stage of life, you may not know where you're headed, but if you have an inkling, just some of the things that you're interested in.
My name is Joseph Schuler. I'm a senior here in Pierre at T.F. Riggs High School. I'm not sure where I'm going to go next year for school yet. I'm planning on going out of state for college, but haven't decided where. I'm thinking of taking an engineering physics major.
Well, welcome. And, you know, to say you're going to go out of state when, you know, you're in Senate education,
yeah.
I don't know, that's dangerous ground, Joseph. Welcome, though, and we're just really glad that you're here, and thank you for your service and for taking time out of school to spend it with us. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. The minutes were provided to all of you, and I would entertain a motion to approve.
Motion.
Thank you. And who is the second? Senator Maher moves and, oh, I'm sorry, Senator Curd moves. I apologize. And Senator Rampelberg seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you. All right. So again, welcome everyone. I'm glad that you're here today and we're taking up a very interesting bill. I want to say that, you know, anytime when we're talking about our kids, and education for our kids, it's a really a passionate, deeply held and felt kind of response. I'm going to say that we're going to manage this meeting with the utmost of decorum. And I understand passion and would just ask that you present your passion in the most positive way possible in this committee hearing. And all testimony and questions would come through the chair. I ask that of the committee members and also of our audience when you are actually testifying. So I appreciate that. All right, we are here today to take up Senate Bill 62. And we will begin with proponent testimony and then move on to opponent testimony. With the people that have signed up to testify on this bill, we'll look at taking about 5 minutes of testimony per person. But I do also, if someone really has much more to say, we will have discretion because we want to be sure that everyone is able to articulate what they are trying to communicate. So we do appreciate it. We're going to be taking up Senate Bill 62 to establish a comprehensive evaluation for the Common Core state standards and to make an appropriation therefore. And I would like to invite Senator Ernie Otten as the prime sponsor of the bill to present it.
In session in order with the quorum. I'd like to welcome everyone on the internet.
Make sure that your microphone is on, Senator.
Legislative website, and we'll be having all of the questions.
Did you have some handouts?
Put forth over the internet.
Where did Joseph go?
A reminder that everyone in the room, please turn your
Corey, would you help us out, please?
Off during this hearing, you will be providing.
Thank you very much.
By way of the speaker's orders.
Again, welcome, Senator Otten.
Well, good morning, Madam Chair, and Senators. The handouts that you're receiving right now are actually a biography that you at later moments can peruse. If I'd have printed everything out, you'd had a stack before you about a foot tall, and then you'd have been staring at me going, really? So the biography is 4 years that you can go back and take a peek at. I'll give you an overview of how we got to this point. I think it's very important that you kind of understand my thought process behind it. This began for me about 6 months ago, and I'm sure that you've already got the emails, and you're already quite aware that the opposing views on this are so far apart that no common ground can actually be found. As I began then to look at you that degree of spectrum of opinions. I was looking for, is there something that we can lock on to, something that is actually factual that we can take all information from? And there was. This is so new that there is no data. We're taking a leap of faith, as it were. And so with that, I began to think about ways that we could anchor that and actually get to the other side. Because what truly is at stake here is another generation. Later, the decisions that we're going to be making here over the next few days are going to give the outcome of another generation. And so I would hope that our attention would be put to those that have yet begun to speak for themselves. One of the things that I found also within this conversation that is going on in South Dakota, that there is no conversation. We are talking at each other, and normally with great passion, and that has to stop. We have to find a way in which we can actually communicate to one another, talk to one another, and find something that we can anchor ourselves around, and that is data. Data always speaks for itself. Some folks say that you can skew data, and I have found in my life that, yes, that is possible. But given enough time, and that's the beauty of this legislation, is we are giving ourselves enough time. We're invoking the greatest strength that man has got in this life, and that is something called time. Time clarifies all things. Time can give us clarity and that perfect vision that we need. How many times have you heard yourself say, man, if I knew today, you know, it is that clarity that I seek for us, and that a conversation then can begin. As I then came up with the premise of what to do, the one thing that all of a sudden I ran across that really grabbed my attention was scholastic achievement in South Dakota. Quite frankly, it stinks. When I found a fact that said that approximately 20% of our kids going on to college need remedial math and reading, I sat and said, really? All the resources we're pulling into it, and that's the best we can achieve? And for those kids not even going to college, is that number 30%? Is it 40%? We have a problem, and we have to be able to remedy that problem. The only way we can do that is through data. One of the other things that I ran across was the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC. They rated us 38 out of 51, a D plus. Now, folks, maybe in your world that's enough, but not in mine. And even today, I have not been able to reconcile, back then, 6 months ago, reconcile the two positions. And even as I said before you today, I cannot reconcile the two positions. And I think that's what I signed on to do, is to bring some sort of leadership and try to find solutions in that. And that's what I think you're here to do. We have to find our way through this mess. And I'll take you back to something called No Child Left Behind. When that first came out, man, I thought that was the greatest thing since sliced bacon. 3 months later, I thought, you've got to be kidding me. I don't want that to happen here. And I don't think any of you want that to happen here. Again, the only thing that we can anchor ourselves into is data, hard factual data that we can come away with at the end of the day and look and be able to examine that data. The other thing that is in this bill is actually to get public testimony. A lot of the times when I was in those anti-Common Core meetings, that's the one thing that I heard time and time again. We didn't get input. Our voice isn't being heard. Well, you'll find that in this bill, this is a mechanism in which we can gather that information. We can gather real life to be able to balance against data. Data itself, it can be skewed. But data with real life history of what's going on can balance itself. We have something actually to look that is happening in the real world and be able to take us beyond that point. I think that it is a well thought out bill. I might be a little prejudiced on that, but that's neither here nor there. But at the end of the day, I do believe that we can change an entire conversation for the state of South Dakota and for our kids. The one thing that I did as I was working through this, and I'm sure that's going to be brought up, is that you're going to find that there's $100,000 of appropriations If you looked at my voting record and you talked to me, you know I choke over spending money. I did over this too. But I couldn't find of any other way to find a mechanism to bring all the people of South Dakota and all the players, especially into the urban areas that we will be doing, Rapid City and Sioux Falls, and even to the central part of the state. And to do that, it's going to take some money. And I apologize for that. But there is no other way that in my mind that I can see to do this and to do this properly for the kids. And with that, I guess I will allow somebody else.
Thank you, Senator. Further proponent testimony.
State and bring back tree expert knowledge is definitely a better day in our state. Couldn't be more pleased. Took some good conversation. Talked a lot about the direction the next generation of agriculture is showing up. First thing, example of that. Trudy, thank you. Mission statement.
For the Office Welcome.
Of the Secretary. Provide policies.
Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. I am Dale Varcher, Executive Director of the Family Heritage Alliance Action. We rise in support of SB 62. The Family Heritage Alliance Action is driven by her mission to champion those values of faith, family, and freedom in the public policy arena across the great state of South Dakota. I have distributed for your information our Family Heritage Alliance legislative policy on education for South Dakota children. This is a policy, a work in progress, which is the grid and the filter through which we analyze all education legislation. The study and research into Common Core standards has absorbed, as you can imagine, much of our time and energy over the past few months. We have heard clearly from both sides of this complicated Common Core issue. Those who support Common Core, such as South Dakota's Regional Teachers of the Year, wrote recently in the Rapid City Journal, and I quote, "Our experience as educators tells us that these standards will raise the bar for South Dakota students, which we believe to be a good thing," end quote. And yet we have heard from those who would disagree, such as national columnist George Will of the Washington Post Writers Group, who wrote the following just this past January the 16th, and I quote, "Opposition to Common Core is surging because Washington, hoping to mollify opponents, is saying in effect, if you like your local control of education, you can keep it, period, to which a growing movement is responding, no, period," end quote. The Family Heritage Alliance Action appreciates the efforts of our state educators in endeavoring to increase educational standards, and we are grateful for all of our educators for their sacrifice and service for the educating of our children. Thus, we applaud Senator Otten's efforts in SB 62. We see this bill before you as a measured attempt at bringing both the pro and con on Common Core standards together for the very real purpose of analyzing whether or not these standards for math and English language arts fit the educational needs of South Dakota children. Likewise, comparing the assessments and the final fiscal impact of Common Core standards is another prudent thing to do. We do sense, yes, some concerns with SB 62, but they are far outweighed in our estimation by the benefits this piece of legislation will bring to our South Dakota community, all done in the best interest of our children and their parents. We respectfully ask your support of SB 62, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Varcher. Further proponent testimony.
Products are properly labeled and represented to prevent the introduction of PSE. Under fertilizer program, ensure products.
Any further proponent testimony at this time? Seeing none, we will move on to opponent testimony.
Nursery stock, prevent pest introduction, pesticide program, assure safe and effective storage, use and disposal, manage pesticides, and protect natural resources and future uses.
Welcome.
Thank you. Madam Chair and members of the Senate Education Committee, my name is Mark Chase, and I'm the president of the South Dakota Family Policy Council. Though we have a lot of respect for Senator Otten as a person, a legislator, and for the hard work he has put into this bill before you this morning. We rise in opposition to SB 62 for the following reasons. First, we are concerned that the Evaluation Council that will be established will not be an unbiased council. In fact, after reading the bill, it looks like the Evaluation Council will be made up of a very strong majority of Common Core standard advocates and supporters. It is our concern that this will result in a biased hearings and a biased report. Second, in regard to the hearings and the final report, we are very concerned that the Evaluation Council will be coming to hear testimony about the standards, while many who come to testify about their experience with the Common Core standards will be giving testimony about the math and language arts Common Core curriculum and the smarter assessment balance, or smarter balance assessment. It is our contention, then, that the members of the Evaluation Committee will be asking questions of these who come testify. They'll be asking questions about the standards, while those testifying will never really answer the questions because their focus will be on the Common Core curriculum and the smarter assessment or smarter balance assessment. I deviate just for a second from my written testimony. It has been said by many that it's just the standards. It's about the standards. Well, you see, the standards are the skeleton, and you need the muscle, and you need the tendons, and the ligaments, and the flesh, and that's the curriculum. And then the assessment is the diagnostic tool to see how we've done. The standards don't do the teaching. They're the standards that the curriculum is written on, and that's the experience that's happening. What this will result in is a conflict of purposes and ultimately a skewed, flawed, inconclusive, or even a confusing final report. Finally, we believe that the problem that exists and the reason for the groundswell of opposition to the implementation of the Common Core standards through the various math and language arts curriculum across our state is much bigger than the standards. The standards have been in place for nearly 2 years. This should have been done a couple years prior to implementation. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. As a result, we would argue that the fact-finding mission of the Evaluation Council that is being proposed in this bill, SB 62, is too late. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of energy and taxpayer dollars. Therefore, we would ask that you vote no on SB 62 this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chase. Further opponent testimony.
Programs are fire suppression, prescribed fire, wildland fire training, fire aviation, fire management, hazardous fuels mitigation, volunteer fire assistance.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I understand this is your first time.
This is my
first
time
capital.
In the Capitol, yes.
So welcome, and thanks for taking the time to be here.
Kind of sad to be my age and not have been here before, but I hate to admit that.
Welcome.
Madam Chairwoman and members of the committee, my name is Mary Shield-Bicey. I'm a concerned parent and grandparent from Sioux Falls, and I thank you for allowing me to speak here today regarding SB 62. There will be 28 members of this council. Of the 28 members, 14 have been or will be appointed by the governor, who during his State of the State address reaffirmed his commitment to the Common Core. Of the remaining 14, the technical schools are one of the many associations that Dr. Schopp tells us the state is working with to implement the Common Core standards. Many of those associations, including the Council of Chief State School Officers, have received funding at the national level or at the local level from the Gates Foundation or the Bush Foundation to promote the Common Core, data collection, data analysis, data-driven education, and to prepare the teachers to teach the Common Core. The technical schools have a stake as the Common Core only prepares students for a two-year community college. Given South Dakota's lack of community colleges, most students will be prepared for VOTEC. That being said, the bill does require the council must hold at least 3 public meetings and take public testimony regarding these topics. A council with public input should have happened before the Common Core standards were adopted. I question the makeup of the council. I'm not sure how they will compare the SBIC assessment to the Dakota STEP. The SBIC assessment has not been written. It's being field tested in South Dakota this spring. It could be a year before the final assessment is available. So for the public to have input on the assessments, hearings would not be able to take place until the final assessment has been released. The scope of the items this council would be evaluating seems to be very limited. The fiscal impact, not only to the state, but to the local districts, need to be evaluated. The majority of the expense in implementing the Common Core, a new curriculum, new technology, teacher, principal, and school evaluations, and many more things will fall on the local school district. It does not pause the implementation of the Common Core standards in English language arts and math or the SBAC assessments while they are being evaluated. And finally, a council to evaluate the standards needs to be made up of people who do not have some kind of stake in the outcome of the findings of the council. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Very significant history with very little funding. I don't see that anyone else has signed up for further opponent testimony. Federal fund authority dollars. Did you just sign up? I'm sorry. Please. Other fund authority.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sorry I didn't sign sooner.
That's just fine.
Yes. My name is Cindy Flackle, and I am Legislative Liaison for Concerned Women for America Legislative Action Committee. And rather than take up more time, I'll simply say we too oppose SB 62. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Further opponent testimony. Seeing none at this time, I would ask Senator Auten to return and respond to some of the things that have been said. Welcome back.
Thank you, Senator. Madam Chair. Many of these folks that have testified against, I consider them friends. One, actually, I call a pastor, belongs to the same fellowship. Opinions. Everybody's got them. We have no facts. That is a fact. The other thing that I wish to think about, or wish you would think about, is we are already sitting here prejudging something. The very things that the opponents are actually doing. Prejudging something. And now we're prejudging a governor not to do what's right. We're prejudging those individuals that haven't even been appointed. That there's something nefarious going on. If I go to a doctor and the doctor tells me that you've got a tumor on your kidney and I need you to select a doctor, a surgeon that you can trust, and you go, yeah, I know of a guy, great guy. You hop out, you run out of the building. You run over and you ask your doctor to do the surgery. The doctor happens to be an eye doctor. In order for you to gather data, you have to put trust in people that actually are skilled in that arena. The rearing of purple loosestrife biological agents, studying economic impacts. And do it in so that you're not thinking that there's going to be a preconceived idea coming out of that. We should have at least that much trust in each other. I don't know at the end of the day, at the end of 2 years here, where we're going to end up. I don't. I have no clue. But I do know with this legislation, we are going to have the basis of being able to sit down, look at one another, and have a dialogue, an honest dialogue. And at this point in time, we don't have that. We have supposition. I'm just supposing in an outcome, that we don't know. So I'd ask you to support this bill. I believe that this is good legislation. I think that it is well thought out, and it will bring people to the table that we're going to have to put a degree of trust in. And at the end of the day, that's what we've got to do, is trust that we will have the data to actually do what's right for another generation. And at the end of the day, that's where our focus has to be, that if the data does support where we have to go, that we'll be able to make those determinations. So I'd ask you for your support.
passing.
Thank you, Senator. I would ask that you just hold for a moment. At this time, would and just people may or may not have questions for you, but I would open it up to committee questions.
Regionalizing ag development.
Senator Maher.
Senator Auten, do you want to just step us through the appointment process and how you come up with the different members and the makeup and the appointment process? And you want to delve into that a little bit further and give us your reasoning of why you have it set up and structured the way you currently do?
Madam Chair.
Please, go ahead.
Yes, I would. When this issue had come up in a lot of the meetings, and so my first thought, well, is there something that we already do? And lo and behold, it is. This is pretty much the format that if the governor, whatever time period it was, would have set something up and structured it, this would have been the structure. As you look at it, you know, we're going to have senators involved and also representatives, 3 and 3. And I think that as a legislative body, we needed input. As you go on through the Secretary of the Department of Education, we're going to have administrators. We will have the teachers. So then we will have those that actually have been doing the testing mechanisms. So we'll have those individuals. So we have understanding there. School board members, Board of Regents. I thought that was important. Representatives of the school board administrators are in there. And then actually what I ended up making sure that we had in there are our parents so that they're on there. We have secondary education student parents. And so I think that it is a broad enough spectrum there that we'll be able to judge what is being brought before them.
You said
further questions?
Yes.
Go ahead.
You said that this is a current access. This current format's already in statute someplace?
Madam Chair, statute would have been the wrong terminology. This is a format that we have done before.
Okay, thank you.
Further committee questions?
Make the request of your department.
Thank you, Senator. Oh, go ahead. Senator Curd.
Thank you, Chairman. Senator, I have a question for you. You mentioned in your testimony, I believe, that the performance or results that we're achieving in South Dakota currently is woefully inadequate. And in the body of the bill, you suggest that the council that's formed should evaluate Common Core versus our current standards, both in the current curriculum and also against Smarter Balance versus Dakota STEP. My question is, if we've already established or if we take as a given that what we're doing isn't adequate, why would we evaluate the Common Core standards against something that we've already decided is not working and is perhaps not as successful as it could be?
Madam Chair.
Senator.
Because we do not have anything that is proven, I needed a test bed. I needed something to be able to compare with. If you already know that something is not working, even though that is not maybe the best place that one would take information from, it is still something that one can compare to what is going on now. And that is the best analogy that I've got between the two points.
Go ahead.
My second question is, Senator, thank you, Chairman, is you're asking Education Committee here to move forward with a budget of $100,000 to implement the study. And I'm curious about how you came up with that number.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
That number, as you read totally through it, it will also say that I believe that or as much as necessary. So we could end up coming under that, or we could end up going over that. It is a reference point in time, if you will, nothing more. I do not know how much it is going to cost, and neither anybody else would. But understand, when this does go to the floor, it needs 2/3, because we are appropriating funds. So it is just a number that we had to insert, and plus as much as necessary.
Please.
Thank you, Chairman. Does that bother you that you have an open-ended government study with no cap on the amount we're going to spend?
Senator, go ahead.
Yeah. It does. But I had to have some place of inserting a dollar. You know, if I thought that it was only going to cost us $80,000 and stuck that in and we ended up with $85,000, the processing would have to freeze and we would have to come back then and reappropriate money. So this is just a mechanism, if you will, to get the job done.
California. Further committee questions at this time? Why that's a big deal is that we're seeing none. Go ahead, Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Darden, you said we have no facts. Isn't it a fact that the governor supports Common Core?
I believe that is his position.
Okay. Isn't it also a fact that...
I would just ask that in any kind of discussion, we move through the chair just to make sure that we stick with protocol. Please, go ahead, Senator Jensen.
Thank you. Isn't it also a fact that the governor will be appointing the majority of the appointees to the committee?
Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Senator.
That is evident in the bill.
Madam Chair.
Senator Jensen.
Isn't it also a fact that the governor appointed the members of the State Board of Education?
Madam Chair.
Please answer.
That is in the bill. That is.
Go ahead.
Isn't it also a fact that the State Board of Education brought Common Core to South Dakota?
You may answer, Senator.
That is a given.
Okay. No further questions.
Further committee questions at this time. Senator Maher.
I would have one for Mr. Chase.
Rural Rehab Fund, which is essentially monies that have been under the stewardship of the Department of Agriculture since the 1930s.
Welcome back.
Welcome. In your testimony, you raised some concern over how the committee was going to be made up and the makeup of the committee. Would it ease your mind if somehow there was a different makeup of the committee, or what would ease your mind on this legislation if it were to move forward?
Exactly.
Please, go ahead.
Madam Chair, excuse me. Yes, exactly. If it was a balanced council, of both proponents and opponents, or more neutral. It's going to be very difficult at this point to find a neutral view. This is a very, as the Madam Chair said at the beginning, it's an issue right now across our state that's captured many people, and there's many people for and against. But yes, correct, that we would be more pleased to see a balance on some like this.
Senator Maher. Would it ease your concern if the President pro tem or the Speaker of the House made more of the appointments in more of the area? Or how would those appointments, in your mind, how would those appointments come about then?
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
At this point, I wouldn't be able to tell you on that.
Okay. Thank you. No further questions.
Thank you, Senator. Legacy program funds matched with 1.2 million. Further committee questions at this time? Seeing none, we'll close the testimony and question phase of our meeting and move to committee discussion. Comments by senators on the Education Committee. Please, Senator Rampleberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to make several comments, so if you'd give me a little latitude.
You have the latitude, sir.
Thank you. You know, I've really been reading a lot of information about Common Core. And, of course, I've heard from various people, and, you know, it seems to me that many people have a feeling that there was no voice at the table when this was adopted back in 2010. And that there should be some sort of, this mic is kind of hot today, there should be some sort of opportunity for people to kind of weigh in. Thanks, Ernie. That's one issue. Another issue is that when you look at the fact that the state has standards for, I'm told, for physical education and for art and for music, as well as for math and science and literature and everything else. These are two areas that are, I think, for all good intentions, things that we need to focus on as a society. Another point is that when you look at the fact that our ACT test scores are relatively flat, and have been for 10 years. And yet we continue to have 30-some-odd percent, 35 or something like that, Senator Otten, that have to go through mediation. And it's my understanding, and Jack Warner's here, but it's my understanding, Dr. Warner, it's my understanding that, maybe he isn't here, honestly. And there he is, back behind the crowd, that the remediation is anybody that scores less than a 25 on the ACT test scores goes automatically into remediation. Something like that, anyway. I know there's four or five different categories. And 30, some of it's 19, and some of it's 22, and some of it's 20, 25. But anyway, so when we look at what Senator Otten is really saying, I believe, when you look at ACT test scores, we are marginally above the national average, but I don't think that's anything to brag about. It's still like 22.3 or something like that. And when you look across our schools, I know I've got seven schools in my district, and they're on either side of the state average. Again, nothing to brag about. A couple schools are in the 24 range, which is really pretty good. So when we take a look at the fact that we really need to, we keep spending millions of dollars every year, and the outcome appears to be the same. And again, you know, the definition of insanity. And in some ways, it seems like we're trying to continue that on and kind of hang into the rut that we're in at any cost, and it's at the cost of our kids. So my opinion has been all along, how do we somehow challenge ourselves to enable our teachers to improve themselves a little bit? Because I think we all know that there are great teachers and there are really good teachers, and very, very few poor teachers. And that's my opinion. So as we look at how we move from where we are, where we have been, it sure seems to me that this bill, even though there's some aspects to it that some people are not really happy about, moves us forward a little bit to analyze the situation that we have. So I think that we should move forward with this bill and then get a chance to improve. What Senator Maher is talking about has really kind of befuddled me a little bit as well. I mean, what do we do? Have people sign in blood that they're against it, so therefore we can put them on the committee because they'll vote against it? Or do we really want to try to find people and say, let's do what's right for our children? And somehow, I don't know how you do that, because we're trying to bring everybody to the table. And even though you could say up front, well, if somebody should have, they should declare themselves or they're for or against it when they get on this committee, doesn't seem right to me. I think that people should be professional enough to make a decision based upon what they learned rather than upon their opinion of things before they walk in there. So even though there may be some concern about this, I'm not sure how we would do it any differently. So I would just urge your support of the bill.
Further committee discussion, Senator Welke.
Thank you, Senator. Number of campsites, they hosted 1,686 campers during the I'm really kind of thinking, first of all, I have a little problem with the comment that our schools are failing in South Dakota. I think there are a lot of factors involved in some areas of our state where there are some real problems. But I also know that our educators constantly look for ways to move education forward. We know that kids are going off to college and are not ready. That's not all of them. That's a small part of our, but any of them going off and not being ready for career and college and for, life in general is an issue. So we have to find a way to make sure we move all of our kids forward. And that's what education in South Dakota has always been all about, that we have always tried to find the right ways of doing things. For more information about South Dakota State Fair and recognition that it runs. So we have some issues, and I think our leaders in the state, duly elected, a lot of activities happening at the state fair, took a look at what was out there and found a number of coming up in this next year. A way to improve education in South Dakota, and that being Common Core. It was, in my mind, I guess I'm thinking that it was vetted. The process that we normally use, as in other cases where we've changed our curriculum, was used. And it is an issue of trust. I guess I believe that our education leaders did a good job in looking at the things that were out there. I do agree with the opponents on one thing. I don't think this is necessary, and it perhaps is a waste of money. But I trust Senator Otten, and I trust that he thinks this is a good way to move forward
as a way to find a solution with the controversy that has been created. Is it good use of our money? Perhaps not, but it is probably necessary at this point in time so that we can move forward for the kids of South Dakota. We have great teachers in South Dakota. We have people working very, very hard. The controversy that we have right now has really created a problem for them to move forward. So if we can put some trust in this this bill, I think it would be a good thing for South Dakota, and I will support it.
This is one of those situations.
Thank you. Further committee discussion.
Antelope, deer, cattle, horses.
Yes, please, Senator Curd.
Thank you, Chairman. Amazing to me. Like Senator Otten, I have significant concerns over the state's decision to adopt the Common Core standards. They fall more under the area of content than some of the other things that we've heard discussed. What gives me some pause about this particular piece of legislation is I'm not sure how it solves some of the concerns that have been brought up by the citizens in our state. One of the things that we frequently have heard is that we didn't have the opportunity to weigh in on the adoption of the standards prior to their implementation. We spend a significant amount of time now studying this. Facts are that we will be 5 years into the process as it was adopted in 2010. And if we find at the end of this study period that the standards are inadequate, my supposition is that they will continue because we won't have anything to return to. We've heard this morning that perhaps what we were doing was not adequate, 29% remediation rate, low ACT scores, et cetera. And we had the Secretary of Education in here last week telling us that the Dakota STEP evaluation, although showing progress internally, did not really measure up with our national results on the NAEP, which showed that we were failing.
Some of what we did, if I can remind you.
So clearly returning to status quo or where we are or were in 2010 is probably not an option. One of the further concerns that I have is that the legislature has no direct oversight over the Department of Education nor the adoption of any particular set of curriculum standards. And I am trying to foresee a pathway forward where in December of 2015 or when the session meets in 2016, where the legislature will have that oversight. I don't see that currently, nor do I see the governor's office agreeing to abdicate that responsibility to us. I am somewhat concerned about the expenditure of funds with not a clear budget to how those funds will be spent. I understand what the senator said about returning the money that's unused. I do think that there is a cap on it. As I read Senate Bill 62, I believe that it's $100,000 and that's the ceiling, which begs the question that if we bring in or the committee decides to bring in people from across the country and starts to spend money to really evaluate what this is about, what do we do when we get to the point where we've exceeded the budget, but we're just at the precipice of figuring out what it is that we really want to know, and we're stuck. There is an opportunity to study things that the legislature deems important over the summer, and there's appropriation money set aside to do that, and I wonder if that might not be the best vehicle instead of initiating another study with a separate set of funding that we really have an open-ended commitment on, and we don't really have a great budget or idea what the cost might be. Those things being said, I applaud the efforts to further investigate Common Core, but I'm not sure that the bill, as it is in its current form, gets us any further down the road to where we want to be, which is understanding what it is that's in the best interest of K-12 education in South Dakota to move our kids forward so that they can be competitive not only on a national level, especially in things like the science, technology, engineering, mathematics careers, but also globally, which is becoming ever more present upon us to accomplish.
Legislation, Senate Bill 27, Act to make an appropriation.
Thank you. Senator Maher.
Just a few comments. As I look up of the makeup of this committee, and I look at this and, you know, I come up with 23 different people that will be serving on this committee, with 11 of them being appointed by the governor's office. Somehow I often thought maybe that we would break that up a little bit and rejockey some of those appointments, only because we're already having three meetings in Rapid City, Pierre, and Sioux Falls, and if those appointments all come from those same areas, how is rural South Dakota represented on this committee? How are our American Indian reservations represented on this committee? That's where my concern comes in. How? Because what goes well in Sioux Falls and Rapid City doesn't always work well on Cheyenne River or the Standing Rock or the Pine Ridge Indian Reservations. So that's my concern as it currently stands. Thank you.
Further committee discussion. Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would concur with a couple of the last speakers' previous comments. If the committee decides to, well, let me back up a second. I would like to see us do what we didn't do this past summer, and that's have a summer study on Common Core. It didn't make the final cut as a topic, but perhaps if we could see some positive desires in that direction, then perhaps we wouldn't even have a need for this bill. And as Senator Curd had already mentioned, that money's already allocated for studies for the summer.
Mr. Chair, Representative Bartlett.
Having said that, I will be offering an amendment if we choose to go ahead with this bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator, just for clarification, did you have that amendment for this committee today, or would that be at another time?
That'd be for now, Madam Chair.
Yes, there is a max and minimum.
Then this would be the appropriate time.
For the record, it does follow Farm Service Agency of $300,000.
Once we get into a question and answer. So we can have everybody ask follow-ups.
Madam Chair, would you like me to go over this?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Okay, this is 62SA.
Have a
comment. Thank you. Point of order. Thank you. I would need you to move your amendment, sir.
I'd like to move Amendment 62SA.
Is there a second?
A lot of other.
It has been moved and seconded for Amendment. I'm sorry, seconded by Senator Rampelberg for Amendment 62SA. Please speak to your amendment.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. On page 3, between lines 8 and 9 of the printed bill, insert, quote, the appointees to the Common Core State Standards Evaluation Council shall be evenly divided between those who support and those who oppose the adoption of Common Core standards, end of quote.
Very private for our families, and there's.
Would you like to speak further to your motion?
Our families have gone through shock.
Well, Madam Chair, it's like I said previously in my testimony. I really see that this committee is going to be stacked in favor of this movement, the Common Core standards, and I just feel that the people would have an opportunity to be represented more fairly if we pass this amendment.
This is not the loss of a calf crop, not just the loss.
Further discussions or questions on Amendment 62SA?
It was their 401k. It was their succession plan. Was there?
Please, Senator Curd.
Chairman, I have a question of the amendment.
Farm bill.
Please go ahead.
Senator Jensen, it seems to me that when you study something, you should enter into the study without any preconceived notions. My concern is that if we divide it up evenly with pros and cons on the front end, that it will be perhaps very difficult to get people to move their decision making. Although I understand the intent, it's to have a balanced council so that we don't have someone that's weighted or stacked against it. I'm not sure that the mechanism is going to accomplish what you want to do, although I think the intention is pure. I understand it. I don't know how we get to that point when we know going in, we basically pre-voted before we allow people to begin to. You make them declare ahead of time, I think this is terrible and I won't vote for it under any circumstance. I mean, I'm concerned about that. Can you address that for us, please?
Go ahead, Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I appreciate the concern. However, I think that the people on this committee are going to be open-minded enough, and as the sponsor has stated, you know, we're looking for the facts, and the facts should be able to persuade folks one way or the other.
Further questions or discussion on Amendment 62SA? Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My concern centers around the issue of how we promulgate the rules on how to do this. It seems to me that I would really like to know how we're going to always an environment where we want establish to a method or a mechanism for one of the areas that we also establishing who feels which way. Because theoretically, you would think that you would prefer having people come to the table and say, I hereby pledge to give equal consideration to all aspects of this bill before making a decision, because that's what we're coming here to do, is to evaluate and try to figure out what's best for the students. So if we walk in with some process that you kind of swear, sign in blood that you're going to oppose it or support it, it almost seems like, why would we even have the session a little bit? So it would seem to me that if we're going to do something like this, some real thought would need to be put into how that process might work to somehow take another step, and that is and ensure that people understand that as they walk in, they might have this preconceived idea, but they're willing to at least look at the facts or the data. And I don't think this does that. Thank you.
Further discussion or questions on the amendment before us? Just hold for a moment, Senator Jensen. Please go ahead and respond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To me, it's obvious that the deck is going to be stacked from the get-go. All this is going to do is provide a more level playing field, in my opinion.
Seeing no further comment or discussion, we have before us Amendment 62-SA that has been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye. Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Motion amendment fails. We are now back to our original bill, Senate Bill 62, is in its current format. Is there any further discussion or question on Senate Bill 62? Yes.
Motion to pass.
Secretary. It has been moved to pass on Senate Bill 62. Is there a second? Thank you, Senator Welke. It has been moved by Senator Maher and seconded by Senator Welke. Do pass on Senate Bill 62. Further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, the Secretary will call the roll.
Mr. Chairman, great question. That's also part of
pass.
It's great to also have with us really the person who's been an incredible resource, and that's Chris Peterson. He's our fiscal officer from the Department of Agriculture. Chris,
Maher.
If you're a standby here, you might be
able to provide
some. Heard.
No.
Chairman Hoffman, what you see in our budget slide is we went through and put those budgets consult with Commissioner Dilges and his
office. It's an IRNA.
Governor Rounds at the time. We went through our fire and forest agencies.
You voted aye.
Identified a number of projects, essentially fuels mitigation on the ground, forest thinnings, those type of projects.
Senate Bill 62 has passed with 5 ayes, 2 nays, and it will move to the Senate floor.
Several millions of dollars worth of
is there any further business to bring before the committee at this time?
Move to adjourn.
Actually, I'm going to request a recess so that we will actually go to appropriations. So at this time, I would entertain a motion to recess. Senator Rampelberg, seconded by Senator Curd. And what we will do, senators, is we will join appropriations, and at 9:45, we will come out into the hallway outside of appropriations, and I will entertain a motion to adjourn. So we'll see you then.
Well, if there aren't any other questions, Secretary Lynch, thank you very much. It's been wonderful having you here, and I look forward to working with you, as I know the department. The rest of us looking forward to working here on the bills. We don't have anything, and it's going to be tough to handle.
Well, Mr. Chairman Hoffman and Representative of the committee, you know,